A man who appreciates fall colors like nobody's business, Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, I'm loving the sunshine part. The sunshine we had yesterday and the light bouncing off all those colors made me so happy. And, you know, fall flowers really make me happy, too.
Yeah. Who is this? Is this a Lisa impersonator?
No, flowers. You know flowers make me happy.
I know.
It's vegetables that upset me. But,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
I like
and green vegetables.
The people that have these gorgeous gardens with, you know, the asters and the yellows and like burnt oranges. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I look at them and I think I'd love to be able to do that someday. But I'd have to get off the couch. I'd have to get off the couch, though.
Well, you know, and actually, you know, things like asters and mums, you can buy ready to go in the at some of the local greenhouses and have that pop of color in your by your front door or, you know, in an area of your garden and just have them ready to go in the fall. They're really grown as a fall annual in our area, although they will survive. Some varieties of mums and, of course, most asters will survive in our landscape from year to year. But those big, bold ones that you see by the front doors of people's homes, those are generally not hardy for our region. So,
how come the university spends all this time on apples and roses, and they don't, you know, knock themselves out on asters or mums or peonies that bloom in January?
Well, the university has done a whole bunch of work on mums, and there's a bunch of mums out that are called Minnesota mums. They've been out maybe the last decade or so at the most, and they are relatively hardy for our state. Northern Minnesota here with us, if we get one of our test winters like we had 4 or 5 years ago, where we get a lot of cold and not a lot of snow cover, it will kill them out or has killed them out for folks that have been drying them. But for the most part, they are hardy for our region, and folks can look for Minnesota mums, and they are a U of M introduction. So.
And you can tell because they make hot dish, and it takes forever for them to say goodbye at the car when you leave.
Those are Minnesota moms, not mums.
I keep getting confused. So what should gardeners be doing right now other than, you know, maybe call their Minnesota mom and say hi?
Yeah, that's right. I need to do that myself. Well, a lot of stuff we've been talking about lately has been about fungus and things like that. And there are issues or are going to be continued issues with those things. So good fall cleanup of diseased or infected foliage. So if it's your squash or your tomatoes or your lilac or your maple or whatever it happens to be that has had early leaf drop or lost foliage for various reasons, getting that cleaned up around as much as you can in your yard or area and then disposing of those leaves in a sensible way, say at the compost facility or something like that, where they can compost those in a temperature that will kill off those diseases that can overwinter in the foliage. But the thing I wanted to talk about today is, and you mentioned it just really briefly, apple trees in the University of Minnesota has done a tremendous amount of work in the apple tree field, so to speak, as far as research on apple trees. And a lot of folks are interested in planting apples and fruit trees and young trees, and especially with the wind storms that we've had this year, replacing those trees. And people are out getting those things planted or going to get them planted. And the one thing that they need to do, and we've talked about this probably for the last 15 years, is wrap those trees this winter. And now, not wrap like what you're used to as far as wrapping.
Oh, well, yeah, because I'm a wrapper from way back.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
This is actually taking a wrap or a cover and covering that young bark of that tree. And there's a variety of reasons, and now is really the time to do it. You and I have talked about sun scald, which is the sun reflecting or the light reflecting off of snow around the base of that young tree, reflecting up onto the trunk of the tree and doing some damage through the tree thinking it's warmer than it is. But the other big problem, so that's one of the problems why you should wrap those young trees that you've just gotten. The other two are browsing or grazing damage by deer, which will strip that bark, or rabbits or mice throughout the wintertime. So, you know, you go out and spend a few hundred dollars on that tree, and for a dollar or two, you can protect it. And the third one, the third reason is probably the one that's most relevant right now, is our young deer, male deer, buck population has velvet on their antlers, and they're in the process now of rubbing that off and marking trees, and they can do significant and quick and permanent damage to those young or recently planted trees. In just a matter of a few moments can destroy that tree. So if we do put a wrap on, that will help protect it from those deer that are marking their territory or rubbing the velvet off of their rack. So now is a good time to get out. You can either use the paper wrap or the plastic collars that work also, and get it up 3, 4, even 5 feet up the trunk of that tree to protect it from those deer. So.
And, of course, a fence is going to help a little bit with deer, but it's not going to do you much good against rabbits or mice or sunscald.
So. Right, yep.
All right. Yeah. TK, thanks a million for joining us, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. You have a good day.
Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, every other Tuesday right here on KUMD.